But now, Lord, we pray for our spiritual health. We thank you for how your word has a huge part to play in that. I pray that you would help us to hear your word well today, that your Holy Spirit, the wonderful, beautiful Spirit who is the author of truth and the one who leads us into all truth, that he would lead us in these words now. And I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I want to begin by saying to you all, some of you, many of you will know this, but on Wednesday, the 14th of September this year, that was a very special day for me now, a day that I won't forget for a long time, because on that day I was sitting on our spa bath, a full bath of water, and I ended up fainting and fitting and even having a seizure, never first one in my life, and I fell into that water head first. And I was under the water, and if it wasn't for Colleen being near, I would have drowned. And Colleen was able to see what was going on and turn my head and lift me up. So I'm obviously very grateful for her being present to do that, and thankful to God as well. And just thinking about that whole thing about you, many of you will have had close calls in your life. You know, I'm so glad that even if I did die, I know because of our precious Lord Jesus, I know that if I was to die, then I know where I'm going. I hope you know where you're going because of your faith and trust in Jesus and because of what Jesus has done for you. I love how it is. We go home. That's our home, heaven. We go home to be with the Lord, to be with Jesus, and to be with our wonderful Father in heaven. But if God chooses to save us, then we know, for me it meant like, right, Ian, you're still here, so you've got a purpose. And I love how we have a purpose here until that final day, or until Jesus comes back. For me personally, going through that time, I took some time to reflect upon life, as you should. And I remember thinking about life, and I began to think about how my life almost slipped away, but then it came back. And then I had this challenging time with the Lord, a good time I mean, where as I began to think about my life coming back into myself, I didn't die, but my life came back, I thought, I don't want my life though. What am I talking about here? I want Jesus' life in me, not my life. And I remember being drawn to a passage in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. The Holy Spirit just really put this on my heart. In Galatians chapter 2, verse 20 says, I have been crucified with Christ, and it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And that verse just really hit me. Yes, I don't want my life. I want Jesus' life to be full in me. And there's just an opportunity I had. God spoke to me about it. Yeah, and I wonder how it is for you. I wonder how you are. If you are a Christian, is it true for you that you actually don't want your life or your old life being lived out anymore, but you want the life of Christ to be living in you and shining through? I trust that's the case. And this morning, I know God's word never returned void. This message was made for two baptisms that were going to go ahead. And the Lord's word never returned void. I believe this is still the word of the Lord this morning. And I was thinking of that experience I had and how it parallels baptism. Because in baptism, we have this incredible picture. If you've been baptized, you remember? Of going under the water, which is a picture of dying. Dying to what? To yourself. And coming alive. Up out of the water is where you're coming alive in Christ. It's a picture because it actually happens when you meet Jesus properly and fully. That's when it happens. And I just felt like it'd be good to look at Romans 6 today. Because Romans chapter 6 speaks about baptism. But more than just baptism, it speaks about these big things. The three big B words today are buried. Buried in Christ, brought to life in Christ, and brand new life. Brand new life. That's what we have in Christ. Romans 6 is a fantastic passage. In fact, Romans chapter 6, 7 and 8, I don't know if we should have favourites, but this is the most magnificent three chapters in the Bible. And near the end of the sermon, I'll be actually bringing out a lot of Romans 8, because it ties in very well to this brand new life that the Apostle Paul speaks of in Romans chapter 6. So let's start getting into it. Romans chapter 6, let's look at this wonderful Bible reading. And I'm going to read to you verses 3 and first part of verse 4. Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? Therefore we have been buried with him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. So the first part of that passage, verse 3 and the first part of verse 4, speaks about being buried with Christ. And that's the great picture in baptism. That's why we baptize according to the New Testament in a body of water. You go under the water, and if you're not lifted up, you will die. All right? But it's a picture only. So we just keep them down for a while. And it's just, you're buried. And what a picture it is. And what are you burying? You're burying, very clearly in the Bible, you're burying, what we're burying is our old life. And that comes out in Romans chapter 6, verse 6. For if we have become, verse 6, knowing this, that our old self was crucified with him in order that our body of sin might be done away with, so that we would no longer be slaves to sin. See that there, that old self. So baptism is a picture of us dying to our old self. And so let's explore this a little bit this morning. What are we talking about when we talk about our old self? Well, our old self is that way of life where we are just living, doing what we want. It's where we are living independently of God. And friends, we are all born like that. We're all born like that. We're all born with this self-centered, do it my way attitude. And when you come to know Jesus, when you actually come to realise who you are, and what you've done against God and how you're in big trouble with the Lord, but what Jesus has done for you, you come to this realisation that that old self needs to be put down. And this old self shows itself in many ways. Some of us get right into immorality, like in a huge way, because we're seeking pleasure. Others of us, you know, we just go down the religious road. We go down this road of ritual and rule in order to make ourselves feel a bit righteous. And others go down the road of human philosophy and wisdom, trying to make themselves feel good. But all these ways are wrong ways, they're old ways. And some of us are into all of those things. And this old way is in rebellion to God. It's not living as God made us. It's living independently of the Lord. And so as I shared, when we come, I remember this in my own life, when I came face to face with the risen Lord Jesus, not in a vision, but by God's Spirit helped me to realise who Jesus is, I remember this challenge. I remember how Jesus is calling me to let go of my life, to let go of my old ways, and trust him completely. And the passage that led to my own conversion, Jesus saving my soul, was in Matthew chapter 16. And in Matthew chapter 16, we read these verses in 24 to 26. Jesus says, and these are very powerful and profound words. Matthew 16 verse 24 onwards. If anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. Hear that? It's not like you may, or might be a good idea, you must. And that language there of deny yourself and taking up your cross means you are dying to yourself. And then Jesus said in verse 25, whoever wishes to save his life shall lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake shall find it. That's the paradox. The paradox is you let go of your life and then you'll find real life. Verse 26, for what will it profit a person if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? And it's that verse actually that made me realise, doesn't matter. Doesn't matter how much money I have, no matter how good I am at sport or how clever I am, I'm going to lose everything one day unless I turn to Jesus. So I turn to Jesus. And I realise the deal. There's a deal. You don't do deals with God. You need to do the deal that Jesus has for you. You have to come on his terms. And his terms is, die. Die to self. Die to your old ways, and then you'll live. Then you'll live. And in baptism, that's what we're symbolising. We're seeing a person publicly being baptised, and they go under the water, and they are dying to self. It's a picture of it. And also, as Paul said in Romans 6 here, the other language is not just dying, they're being buried. And when you think about buried, what do you reckon of that word, eh? That's a little bit stronger. You know, if you die, you might be able to be revived. But when you're buried, that's it. It's permanent. And that's how we're meant to view it. We're not meant to be in and out of death and life. We're meant to be, that's it, I've decided. Ian Kirk dies today, and he's going to be raised to life in Christ. And it's meant to be a permanent thing we do. So that's why the word buried is used. This is a core to Christianity. And I want to use another metaphor when it comes to this whole thing, because I know what we can be like. People who say they're Christians, and I don't know if they are a Christian yet or not, but you know, it's like driving a car. You know, like here we are, we're driving a car, and you know how it is, like you want to drive the car. And Jesus comes along, and so what you do is, you put him in the back seat, and you're still driving the car, still very much in control. This is very human to do. But what Jesus is calling us to do, are commanding us to do, is stop driving. Allow Jesus to be the driver of your life. It must end. This is what Christianity is about. This is the crux of Christianity. It's to die to self. And when we die to self, then the next thing comes into play. So let's have a look at that. We're going to read now verses 4 and 5 of Romans chapter 6. Therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have become united with him in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. So that's the second half of baptism, which we would have seen today, but it didn't happen, where a person comes up out of the water. It's a beautiful picture of being brought to life. Brought to life. Spiritually dead, but brought to life. And I love how it all happens. I remember when I was 18, when I turned to Jesus and I called on him to save me. I was crying, I was weeping. I knew I needed him. I broke down and gave my life to him. And wow, I had no idea what was going to happen after that. What happened after that is the Lord Jesus in heaven, who sees all things, the resurrected Jesus at the right hand of the Father, he did something incredible. He caused his Spirit to flow into my life and brought me to life. That's what baptism is a picture of. It's incredible. It's incredible to be born again, to be brought to life, to be brought into the fullness of life in Jesus. And you never have any idea of it until it happens. Then you realise, wow, this is the best thing out. I feel alive. Brought to life. Let me read a few great verses on this. I'm going to jump to Romans 8 right now. Romans chapter 8, verse 11. Romans 8 verse 11 says, but if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal body through his Spirit who indwells you. And the Bible speaks about the Holy Spirit being the one who raised Christ from the dead. Hallelujah. And the same Holy Spirit comes into our being when we receive Jesus and he brings forth life into our soul. Oh, it's just such an amazing thing to be a Christian, a genuine Christian. I got caught up in churchianity, you know, just going along to church thinking I'm a Christian because I go to church. Didn't even know Jesus personally. And wow, the day when I came alive in Christ was phenomenal. And it happened, and it just keeps going. Praise the Lord. Jesus spoke about all these things. If you read his Gospels, let's have a look at a few passages in John's Gospel. John chapter 7. Jesus said these words at the end of the feast. If any person is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture says, from his innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. That sounds exciting, living water. Then John explains it in verse 39. This he spoke of the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive, for the Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. But this happened after Jesus rose from the dead, when the church was born, and every person who received Jesus down through the ages, they get to have the living water, the Holy Spirit, come into them to give them life. And in John chapter 10, at the end of verse 10, it says, I have come, you know this verse, that they might have life and to have it abundantly or to the full. We have different translations for in the English, but it's all about Jesus came to give us life. He has brought us to life, and that life is in the Holy Spirit. The same Spirit who hovered over the surface of the deep in Genesis chapter 1, over a creation that was dark and it being void, and the Holy Spirit was there to do awesome things to bring life. And he's the same Holy Spirit who comes to bring life to us, brought to life. And baptism is a wonderful symbol of that. As we come up out of the water, a picture of this life, we are brought to life. Alright, so now what I want to do is look at this brand new life that we have. Alright? This brand new life, fired up by the Holy Spirit. So I'm going to read to you now from Romans chapter 6, and we'll read verses 6 and 7. Knowing this, that our old self was crucified with him, in order that our body of sin might be done away with, so that we would no longer be slaves to sin. For he who has died is freed from sin. Right, first thing I see there is brand new life. What does this brand new life look like? This brand new life looks like this. Free from sin. How do you feel about that? Should be so excited. Freed from sin. I never forget that. The moment I gave my life to Jesus, I knew the great guilt of my sin had been taken away. I knew that I was forgiven. I'd been freed from all my sin. I understood the cross. I understood how Jesus had died for me, and that's how all my sins had been paid for. And what's so amazing is past sin, present sin, and future sin. It's such an amazing thing. Freed from sin. That's the power of Jesus' blood. Freed. Pardoned. So then you have in Romans chapter 8, verse 1, that great verse that says, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, absolutely freed from the guilt of sin. And there's a favourite hymn I have that really captures this truth so well. It's the third verse of It Is Well With My Soul. And it says, my sin, oh the bliss of this glorious thought. My sin, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to the cross and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, oh my soul. That is such a great verse that rings so true to the Word of God, which is most important. Wow. So what a brand new life we have. Can you take this in? Your brand new life is free from guilt. But what about if I sin next week and the week after, or even today or tomorrow? Jesus has died for all your sins. There is an onus on us to keep in fellowship with God by confessing our sins regularly to him, but you're free from sin. There is no sin that you've done, no sin in the future that will stop you being in the presence of the Lord. You're free from sin. It's such an incredible new life we have in Christ. The next thing I'd like to show you in Romans 6, verse 6, it said at the very end, not only have we been freed from sin, but we're no longer slaves to sin. So this to me is talking about sin power. Sin has power over us, so that it chains us into bad behaviours and attitudes. It causes us to feel trapped. We have sins, all of us have certain sins that dominate us. And what is so good about this is that this brand new life, we have the Holy Spirit to break the chains, to help us no longer be dominated by any sin, no longer to be a slave of sin. How good is that? You know, surely you know this, that there are things that can really dominate us. But God's Holy Spirit, this brand new life, this Holy Spirit we speak of, is the one who is able to set us free, from the guilt of sin and also to break every sin that has a hold on us. So now jumping into Romans 8 again, in verses 12 and 13, second half of verse 12 and into 13, I read there, "If you are living according to the flesh, you must die. But if by the Spirit you're putting to death the deeds of the body, you will live." And friends, this brand new life, in this brand new life that we have in Christ, I have the Holy Spirit every day to help me to put to death the old ways and sinful ways and dominating sins, so that I can be free and I can no longer, and so that I'm no longer a slave to sin. This brand new life is awesome. So good. You know, I want to jump now to Romans 7. The Apostle Paul speaks about the daily struggle. The things I want to do, I don't do. And the things I don't want to do, I do. Oh, fantastic section in Romans 7. At the very end of it, that's what I'm going to read to you. The very end of it, the Apostle Paul says in Romans 7, 24 and 25, "Wretched man that I am." Man, what a confession. "Wretched man that I am. Who will set me free from this body of death? Thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." There it is. This is this brand new life. Righty-o. Now let's have a look at something else. I'm going to read verses of Romans 6, 8 to 11. Romans 6, 8 to 11. "Now if we have died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, is never to die again. Death no longer is master over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all, but the life that he lives to God. Even so, consider yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus." So even though I've emphasised the sin bit, freed from sin, its guilt, empowered to overcome sin by the Spirit, it's not all about sin, it's now about we are free in this brand new life to be alive to God. Grab hold of that phrase, alive to God. Alive. Alive to God. So there is a past we've got to deal with and an old nature we've got to deal with, but then we are alive to God. What does this look like? I want to spend the rest of the sermon just sharing a few great truths, especially from Romans 8, about being alive. Alright, here we go. Verses 12 to 14 is what I'm going to read first of all from Romans 6. And then we'll jump into Romans 8. In Romans 6, 12 to 14, I read there, "Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, so that you obey its lusts, and do not go on presenting the members of your body to sin as instruments of unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not be master over you, for you are not under law, but under grace." So alive to God, first thing I'm going to say to you, alive to God means now I am free to use my body, the instrument of my body, for God. I have been set free from the guilt of sin and the power of sin, and now I can really live. This is what being alive is. I can be alive to God. My voice and my mind, my hands and my feet, I now can use, I'm free to use it for God's glory. Hallelujah. That's what a Christian's life is about. Alive to God. I'm meant to be tuned in, thinking of the language of instruments of righteousness. I am now able to be tuned in to the good will of the Lord and to have his beautiful Spirit lead my life in glory and praise to him. We are not like a tuned-in instrument for the Lord's glory. Wow, this is fantastic. Alive to God. Are you alive? Alive to God. This is how we're to be. Now we are going to jump into Romans 8, because Romans 8 to me has all these other wonderful things about being alive. Alive, this beautiful life we have in Christ. So what we're going to do now, I'm going to look at these next verses. Romans 8, 14 to 16. There's a few more passages and then we'll finish. Romans 8, 14 to 16. What do we learn here about being alive? Romans 8, 14 to 16 says, "All who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of slavery leading to fear again, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by which we cry out, Abba Father. And the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. I love that passage. I've loved this passage more and more as time's gone on. Alive to God, absolutely. God is so real. And he ministers to our soul and it causes me, it causes us to be able to cry out, Abba Father, Abba. A very endearing term about God being our personal Father. Abba Father. And the Spirit bears witness with my spirit that I am the Lord's. Wow, does that not make you feel alive? Sure does. Just the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit's ministry happens all the time, but especially, God knows, when we're down, when we're struggling, the Spirit ministers to us. It's so good to be alive, to have the Holy Spirit himself affirm that you are his, you are the Lord, you are a dear child of the Lord. That's been alive, I tell you. All right. Keep going, Romans 8. Another thing, not thinking now of sin, but in Romans chapter 8, verse 29, we read, For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. So the other great thing about being alive in Christ is that we have the Holy Spirit not just freeing us from sin, not allowing us to be a slave to sin, but he is transforming us. Wow, that is a great work of God. He is so patient with us. He is transforming us. That makes you feel alive. I don't know about you, but when it comes to human nature, we pretty much have it. We're in concrete. It's so hard to change our ways. But we have the Holy Spirit who is able to transform us, to change us from within. Not put band-aids on us or patch us up, but change us from within. And every change he makes, it makes you feel more and more alive. And you're being changed into the image of none other than the beautiful and glorious Son of God. Isn't that amazing? That's being alive. All right, and now, the last verse I'm going to read, last two verses, is at the end of Romans chapter 8. And this is another thing that makes me feel alive. And that is to say categorically that our great God will never ever leave us. And his love for you will never be broken by you or anyone. That makes you feel alive. Love forever. Wow. Let's read these words. Romans 8, 38 and 39. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's the Lord. His love for you is so strong. And when you know that you are loved every day, and the Holy Spirit affirms that to us, and we know that God will never leave us nor forsake us. He's always with us. It makes you feel alive. You might have people turn on you and hate you and all sorts of things, especially in this world where there's such hostility to the Christian faith. But to know that you are loved beyond measure, the love that God has for you is higher than the highest heavens, that makes you feel alive. It helps you get up every day because you know you are loved. Loved with an everlasting love. Pretty good, this brand new life. It's very good. It's excellent. Wow, what a life we have. And I want to finish today by challenging us all, as I challenged myself when I almost died a few months ago. The big challenge for me is, do I really know Jesus? Have I come to Jesus on his terms? Have I died to myself and given my life to Jesus? That's really important you look at that, because many people who come to church can be caught up in churchianity or just being religious. And there's such a vast difference that is compared to knowing Jesus personally and being alive in him. But it only can happen when you give your life fully to Christ. You surrender your life to him. then you have a brand new life in Christ. And if you've done that, praise the Lord. And let me also challenge you with another thing, and that is some of us haven't been baptised. In evangelical churches, we often don't preach about baptism anymore. Well, let me tell you, I'm going to say it right now. You should be baptised if you are in Christ, because Jesus commanded it. And it's our wonderful way of testifying to others that we are the Lord's. And also, as we have seen, it's a beautiful picture of dying to Christ, dying to self, and coming alive in Christ. It's a very good thing to do, to be baptised. So, I'm going to now introduce the closing song. If you have any questions about these things, especially whether you're not sure if you're a Christian, please come and see me after the service. I'd love to talk to you. And the song we're going to close with is, "This Life I Live Is Not My Own." All right, let's stand and sing. To close with. I'm just going to read that verse again that really touched my heart a few months ago and still does, touches my heart nearly every day. Galatians 2 verse 20, "I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God." And friends, listen to these beautiful words, "who loved me and gave himself for me." Because of what Jesus has done for us, we can be forgiven, set free, and filled with life anew, and one day look forward to seeing him in glory. Let's pray. Now, Father, thank you for how life is precious, and none of us know how long any of us will be here on this earth. But we know that as we have breath, we are so privileged to be able to hear and understand through the help of your Spirit what you have done for us, so that we might not perish in hell but have life forever, and life here, a good life here on earth, a life with fullness and meaning and purpose. And I thank you that Jesus is the key to it all. Thank you for this great Son of God, the eternal Son, according to your own will, Father, coming into our world, taking on our form, and living a life, perfect life, and then laying it down. And how many people understood it? They just didn't understand. He laid his life down so that he could bear our punishment, bear the wrongs that we have done, so that we could be forgiven fully. And we thank you that he rose from the dead. And because of Jesus now at your right hand, the Spirit's been sent into every heart that trusts in your Son. And thank you for how we can be filled with life. Lord, my desire is for everyone here in this chapel and hall and watching online that we might really be saved and born of your Spirit and alive. And that we might also do our part in helping other people come alive in Jesus. This new life we have, this brand new life, is awesome. And sorry, Lord, when we are a bad witness of it because we're not going too good. Lord, help us to always get back to this brand new life in Christ, that we might radiate and shine the life of Jesus from our own life. Thank you, Lord, for today. And we all feel for Connie and Helen not being able to be baptized today. Please encourage their hearts. We know the enemy can come in and really discourage them. Please, we just stop that from happening, and may they look forward to a time when they can get baptized. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.